ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 15. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. So we find these guys telling how wonderful it is to see this. This is like, wow! It reminds us of when Moses had the Holy Spirit fall upon the elders, when he passed over a portion of his spirit to do some judging in Israel. And Joshua hears about a couple of guys across town who are not part of that group, but they're over here prophesying and they're lit up. And Joshua says, can you forbid them? And he says, would to God all of God's people would prophesy. Do you know what was happening up in Antioch? They were all prophesying. They were all preaching the gospel, which is what the word prophesy means in its truest sense. To speak forth the word of God. How many of us today speak forth the word of God in our day to day? Did you talk to somebody about Jesus this week? Was he on your lips? Was there some moment where you got to put in a little piece of information in somebody's life? I look at mothers sometimes and I think, you know, it's just telling your kids. Just sitting them on your knee and saying, honey, let me read you a little Bible story. You know, you should be so full of Jesus that he's seen in your life. That's the way it was in Antioch, this epicenter of the Gentile church. People were lit up so much that it caused great joy to hear about. Verse 4 says, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them in verse 4. And I have to ask myself, what has God done with me? You have to ask me, what has God done with you? Because God wants to. We were looking in our Sunday school class this morning at Thessalonians chapter 1, and that the prayer at the end of chapter 1 was that God would count the Thessalonians worthy of a certain calling to suffer. So the apostle was praying that the Thessalonians would be counted worthy to suffer for his name. We don't even think about that. We don't think that maybe God would count us worthy to suffer. We don't want to think about that. It's not a happy thought. However, in sufferings, there is great grace. God shows up. The three Hebrews cast into the fiery furnace. There were three on the outside of the furnace and a fourth man in the furnace with them. We can't find Jesus merely as manifest in our lives when all things are calm, cool, and in their place. Well, they were excited to share all the things God had done with them, but there rose up, even in this meeting, certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So see, this probably was the guys that were probably the ones that sent those other guys up to Antioch. And they were telling them, you have to be circumcised or you can't be saved. It is in the book of Galatians that we find, some time after this council, that there's still people running around saying this. And in fact, many of the Galatians up there in the northern regions were subjecting themselves to circumcision. I'm always amazed at that because the Gentiles were willing to pay the price of having a surgical procedure in order to be saved. It's hard for us sometimes to even read our Bibles. Well, you should read your Bible. What's that? Or it's hard for us to pray or witness. You see, my point is, these guys were so desirous of eternity in heaven, of salvation, of forgiveness of sins. They were willing to subject themselves even to a surgical procedure. So we see that it did continue to be a narrative that was plaguing the steps of the church. Now, what we've seen thus far, if I may, is we've seen the disputations in this chapter. It's all about how is a person saved? And that ought to be a question that we visit a lot before and after salvation so we really know what we believe. Because, you know, the devil will come against you. He is the diabolos. That means he's the one who is an accuser. He's constantly casting darts at you. The Bible talks about us taking the whole armor of God that we may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, right? He's going to cast accusations. And those fiery darts hit you. And in those days, the fiery darts were arrows that were dipped in pitch. When it hit you, it would splatter on people around you. The devil doesn't play fair. He wants to neutralize you because he knows once you're born again, he can never get you back. Praise God, born again means born again, not born again and again and again. I'm so glad he's got me, aren't you? No man can pluck me out of my Father's hand. In John 10, we're told, he that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Aren't you so glad that's true? Because nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We're told in Romans chapter 8. Verse 1 says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad that's it? I mean, those things are in it. If you're not reading your Bible, you're probably not fortifying your faith. And you're not perhaps going to be ready to take on those things that come against you. But what we see is that first section is the disputations. Then we see the deliberations, because they have to deliberate over this. Isn't it a good question? You know, what must I do to be saved is asked in chapter 16. And by this time, they're going to know exactly what to say. And it's going to be simply put, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what it says in chapter 16, verse 31. You don't get saved by behaving. You get saved by believing. And if you believe right, you will behave right. That's what happened in Antioch. They believed in a Messiah who set them free from sin and set them free to live unto righteousness. You recall, do you not, in the 23rd Psalm, one very familiar to most people in and outside the church. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. When I believe right, I'll behave right. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He never leaves. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if we're listening to that still small voice, we're going to be led in the paths of righteousness, not the paths of sin. Somebody said, well, if I believed like you believed, I'd just get saved and sin and do what I want to do. Well, that's because you're not saved yet and you have no idea what's on the other side of that. And probably you're not really being honest about how sin is. Sin is insidious. Do you know sin is never alone? Sin is a seed that takes root and begins to affect others and other things in our lives. Well, there is consequence to sin. The biggest consequence is an eternity in hell. That's a big consequence. But not only is it a personal problem we've got to address in our issue of sin, but also if I am a sinner living in accordance with this world's way, I'm not only sinning for myself, I'm teaching others to sin, like my own children. And if I teach them to sin, then I might be teaching them how to get to hell too. And so my sin is not done in a bubble. I sin and I teach others to sin and others teach others to sin. It's like the whole pyramid situation you hear of in some sales organizations. You never are isolated or alone in regard to the realities of sin. It's something that affects others and influences others. Well, they ask the question in verse 6. It says, and the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Now, you might underline that. Peter rose up. And you remember Peter's story. He's going to tell. Remember, there I was. And I didn't want to go. And a sheep came down. And I saw unclean animals. And the voice said, kill and eat. I said, no way, Lord. I'm not doing that. I've never done that. He says, don't call unclean or common what I've called clean. And after it's done three times, some guys come to the door. And the Holy Spirit says, go with them asking no questions. And Peter goes to the house of Cornelius. And he's recounting that whole story of how as soon as he mentioned the remission of sins through Jesus, the Holy Spirit fell upon them in that house. And even the apostle couldn't deny what he had seen. Peter said, who can deny these men water that they might be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit even as we have? Look at it. It says, Peter rose up in verse 7, and those Gentiles heard the word of the gospel and believed. Okay? It says in verse 8, it says, God, which knows the heart, bore them witness. Now, when you see where it says, God, which knoweth the heart, he's not talking about the hearts of the Gentiles. He's talking about his own heart. As a Jewish boy, he knew my heart. I needed to see it this way. I needed to have the vision of the sheets. I needed to have the vision of the word from the Holy Spirit saying, go with him. I needed to see the Holy Spirit. And he knew my heart was going to be reluctant to go there. And he says, God who knoweth the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us. And put no difference between us and them. Look at this, verse 9. Purifying their hearts by faith. You know, your heart is what really is at issue here. You see, if you believe something in your heart of hearts, it will impact you if it's an impacting truth. If you believe that people will go to hell for eternity, if you believe that you would yourself, if you really believe that you were going to die, if you really had the prognosis, man, it's going to be 6 weeks to a year. I don't know. You got the word. You're not going to live. Something's going to change how you live. You might be chasing the YouTubes on the alternative. You might be going to the doctors. You might burn your time putting your faith in men, or you might take a few moments, get on your face before a holy God and say, I am sorry, I've been a sinner. And you would praise Him for His willingness to let you know that your time was short and you got salvation squared up in your life. You would see it as a mercy to have had the diagnosis. You see, my point is God's truth changes everything. And what we have in this passage is He said, I would not necessarily go there, but I'm telling you what I saw and what God showed me and what I've understood now. He purified their hearts even as He did ours. Verse 10 says, and why tempt ye God, He says, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? You see, He's saying, as those messages we've seen by Stephen and Paul have been amplifying, that the people of Israel were constantly pushing away obedience, going their own way, not wanting God to be their leader, but wanting a king, not wanting to do the things according to the law, but every man doing what was right in his own eyes, not wanting to obey God when it came to their relationship with other nations, but building walls and fences instead. These were the people that had the brightest light the world ever knew, and for centuries they were not dealing well with it. He says, our fathers couldn't bear that yoke. We can't bear that yoke. How is it you want to put that yoke on them? So he basically waxes bold in verse 10 and says, why are you tempting God? It says in verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved. Can everybody say amen? Amen. That's what it is. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be saved. You can't do anything for it. You can only receive it. It's the gift of God, even eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not of works, Ephesians 2:9 says. And it's the gift of God, we're told in Romans 6:23. You and I have a great, great word on these things. We don't have to question. We just need to take God at His word. Do you realize that that is what set Abraham apart? The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. It was written down, righteous. What did he do? He believed God. Not he believed in God. There's no preposition there. It's he believed God. You see, what he had been told, he believed. He had been told he would have his child. And even though this child didn't come until he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 and past the age of childbearing, Romans 4 catalogs it. It says, even though that was true, he did not waver in his faith, but strengthened himself. Do you know what had to happen? This 100-year-old man had to ask his wife out for a candlelight dinner. You got a 100-year-old, a 90-year-old, and they're believing they're going to have a baby. Okay? That is belief. And God says, that's what I'm looking for. Not believing in God. The Bible says in James, you believe in God, you do well. That's good. That's a good starting place. But devils believe also and tremble. You cannot be saved by believing in God. That's a sub-point. It's believing God. And what does God say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you get saved. You call on the Lord. You trust Him. It's in Hosea chapter 14, the first three or four verses. It says, take words with you and tell him you're sorry for your sin and you're going to offer the calves of your lips and you're going to say, here's my offering. It's not a sacrifice of a bull or a calf. It's the sacrifice of praise and honor to God, saying He only can save. So he says, why do you tempt God? We believe, verse 11, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. The Bible says, then the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. Underline that. There's your second witness. Have everything be established at the mouth of two or three witnesses. Peter said, you know my story. And then Paul and Barnabas step up and it says they were declaring the miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.